These people need considerable sleep. And where they are denied it for too long a period of time, it will produce difficulty. Because of the natural allotment of energy in them, these people also become tremendously disturbed if this energy suddenly seems to diminish. The Aries person is almost unable to bear the experience of being tired. It seems to strike against them psychologically. They become a little panicky if they suddenly find they cannot do the things which they are accustomed to do. This is about their weakest point, and they have to work with it as much as possible. Their largest and happiest situation is where they can be pleasantly, constructively engaged in a variety of attitudes or works requiring considerable physical activity. The main psychological fear is that they have not really ever adjusted to sickness. And sickness, therefore, presents a little psychological emergency. They have not adjusted too well to age. Therefore, limitation of activity must be met with a kind of quiet, contemplative courage. Many Aries have sharp tempers and are quick-tempered, but not generally given to grudges. But as they mature, the Aries person's temper becomes remarkably even. And as a result of that, their health remains surprisingly good over a long period of time. They are in many instances an excellent example of how an energetic person can at the same time conserve resources. There's not much tendency to waste energy. There is very little tendency to argument or discussion about things, but a simple, direct doing of that which is next. And in this simple, direct doing, a wonderful conservation of resource. These persons should, however, not worry too much, not create negative imagination about health or circumstance, try to be as contemporary as possible, and enjoy simple things every day. This is the way in which their health, their energies, can be best sustained. They are not too involved. The Aries woman is somewhat more involved than the man because her energies are more like his. They are more active. They do things more. And in so externalizing their energies, they often get themselves into a position in which they can be accused of driving or dictating or attempting to dominate. Thus, again, with them, achievement must be smoothed out, or else resistance will cause psychic stress. When people resist them, they fight harder. The real secret of the problem is when someone resists, relax, and in due course of time, try again. But if you fight through too hard, you will waste energy, and no man today has energy to waste. From the 20th of April to the 20th of May, we have the Taurian person. And while they are generally represented as being bullheaded, this is not their real problem. Taurus is a feminine sign and presents greater difficulties to men than to women. By its very nature, Taurus is imaginative. It is also, down inside of itself, rather easily frustrated. It is defeated more quickly than some other signs. There are a lot of fears lurking in the background of the Taurian personality, and they often come through in the form of an extraordinary appearance of aggressiveness, which is not actually their real nature at all. There is an understratum of melancholy. There is a tendency to fall into negative feelings. There is a tremendous psychic restlessness, great difficulty in settling down to something. The person does not become a routine person too well, and they have a great many fears locked in their personalities. One of the common fears of Taurus has always been the fear of age. The Taurian person is a youth worshiper. They are very much impressed by appearance. In a Taurian, a gray hair is a disaster. And immediately you have to treat it accordingly. I've watched gray-haired men with their first gray hairs appearing, Taurian men, sitting patiently pulling them out. This, however, ultimately becomes a losing game. The least you can say is that you will lose all the hair. But these people are afraid of age. Not so much because of its infirmities, but because of this tremendous, almost veneration for youthfulness, and a complex about the mirror. There is the symbol of Venus, which rules Taurus, is a mirror. And the Taurian, looking in the mirror, gains from what he sees a considerable part of his daily psychology. This appearance must be optimistic and satisfactory, or the day does not go so well. The Taurian, therefore, needs to have a true philosophy of beauty, which the sign itself implies. It needs to recognize the beauty and dignity of youth, and also the beauty and dignity of maturity. It has to realize that beauty is not only youthfulness, but graciousness of consciousness, and that a beautifully lived life will result in a subtle atmosphere of beauty accompanying the individual long after physical charms may have a tendency to deteriorate. Consequently, this problem of youth, life, beauty, freedom, the development of imaginations beyond their normal instincts, an overemphasis upon romantic and dramatic situations, these become the sources of psychic tension in these people. Where this psychic tension becomes too pressureful, we get too much of a personality factor. We get the personality pushed forward far beyond its natural right and purpose. The individual becomes too dependent upon personality and not upon the principle behind this. Now, when this strikes the man, we can have the vain man. We can have the egocentric individual, the man who becomes too much locked in the importance of his own personality. And under some conditions, this may lead to a very aggressive dictatorial attitude, or to a tremendous sense of defeatism, or a neurotic tendency developing within the person. The problems are largely emotional, but the answer to them always is the recognition that beauty is a therapeutic agent if we use it correctly. But it must be used correctly or it will not achieve its proper ends. Now, the Gemini individual from the 20th of May to the 20th of June presents an entirely different type of psychological integration problem. Here we have a tremendous need for very simple self-discipline, especially mental self-discipline. The individual must be taught the importance of straightening out his own thinking. This sign is a sort of psychic sponge. It takes into itself many ideas which are not meaningful. It permits completely conflicting attitudes to live together without attempting to discriminate between them. It causes the person to be too easily influenced by fads and notions and attitudes of those around them. It represents also a degree of hypercriticism, and the Gemini person loses the advantage of simple faith simply because they become too mentally involved. There is also a little tendency on the part of the Gemini individual to shy away from physical responsibilities. These people do not accept promotion in business as easily as some others, nor do they carry on with the same breadth of interests that are important to a healthy, happy adjustment. The tendency to be a little too scattered within an area. The individual may be scattered within a certain intellectual viewpoint. These people will run into political thinking of a minority kind. They will develop peculiar and extraordinary sympathies for the underprivileged. They will be leaders in socialization projects. They will be discomforted and paralyzed by news broadcasts. They will take on all kinds of negative fears. And the mind, instead of solving problems, will exaggerate them. I think probably one of the troubles here is just simply lack of a sufficiently colorful existence. These persons have not experienced widely enough to be able to evaluate experience properly. They've lived within certain areas, social, economic, political, cultural. They have never really peered over the fence to find out what is happening on the other side. Thus, there are many things around them all the time that bewilder them. I would say that for this type of person, an increase of breadth of interest, the development of various hobbies and avocational outlets, a distinct effort not to be critical, not to be bitter about anything, even that which is wrong. Because while we may know a thing is not good, the moment we become embittered about even evil, we begin to prepare our way for our own psychic undoing. What is not right, we know is not right. But if we personalize it, dramatize it, and emotionalize it, we will be sick. And this problem often results in the Gemini individual falling into a complex of nervous situations. It's very good for the Gemini person to learn to sit down quietly and enjoy the good book, enjoy a pleasant conversation, and to enjoy sometimes small things of no great importance, and not to become critical and feel that if they're not at this moment engaged in a cosmic enterprise, they're doing nothing. These people become very impatient with other folks and their small purposes. This is a very serious mistake because there will always be other folks and there will always be small purposes. And from perspective, maybe ours will be among the small purposes, although we do not believe it at the moment. From the 20th of June to the 20th of July, we have the Cancer person. Oh, the Cancer person reminds me of the American soldier in China who was looking at one of the dragons carved on the walls near the summer palace of the Empress Dowager a number of years ago. He took a look at this dragon and he said, "My, these Chinese have the awfulest imaginations." Now, the Cancer individual can sometimes have the awfulest imagination. The sign is highly imaginative and highly sensitive, and out of it can come a tremendous amount of creative artistry. The sign is feminine, and in the feminine nature may often result in a very strong maternal instinct, a natural psychism, which can lead to a series of inner emotional experiences which may be over-accepted. The tendency of the Cancer person is to be extremely sympathetic of problem. At the same time, their own inner integration is not always up to their hopes and their beliefs and their convictions. The Cancer person will very often try to do for someone else what they have never been able to do for themselves, and that is bring life into harmonious relationships. The Cancer person, therefore, has to be constantly aware of the danger of internal emotional delusion. The things which they hold to be tremendously important may not be quite as valid as they think they are. That the tremendous tensions and pressures which they exert may not be justified, and that a great deal more could be accomplished easily and quietly and peacefully by simply relaxing and doing the things that can immediately be done. The Cancer person is often very social conscious. That is, not necessarily merely in small things, but in terms of social need. They would like to see a better world. They would like to see happier people. And very often, they overdo in the effort to bring these things about. The overdoing is not necessarily wrong, but it is wrong where the individual has not yet established his own footings adequately. The cancer person has not adequate establishment in themselves. They have become a little too dependent upon their own activity for their own integration. The integration should cause the activity. They feel they will be happy if they forget themselves in their job. But they cannot forget themselves entirely in the job because the job is of themselves. And the situation becomes sometimes rather complicated. As a result of tremendous emotional intensity, very often, almost always, frustrated to some degree by its own intensity, these people are often disillusioned or embittered or settle down to a long period of acceptance of what to them may appear to be a dismal state of affairs. If they could realize that much that they believe to be very certain only originates in their own moods, they will be happier and able to face the situations more effectively. It is a sign in which the person is too easily pressed by unknown intensities of emotion within himself. And these pressures nearly always cause him to overlook the need to integrate his own nature. Where this happens, you have the danger of particularly digestive problems. You have difficulty in elimination, quite frequently appearing. You have a tremendous tendency to fall into fads, to fall into various intensities, the individual feeling that an intensity means a value, and this is not always the case. In the cancer man, we find again the artistic, sensitive, psychic, emotional factors making it difficult for him to adjust in society. He always apparently has to have some employment or some activity which gives opportunity for creative emotional expression. This emotional intensity detracts to a measure from his solid industrial adjustment. From the 20th of July to the 20th of August, we have Leo. Now, Leo are people usually who obviously or quietly set about something and generally stay with it until they feel that it is accomplished. It is a go-do-it-and-stay-with-it type of situation. Now, the sign is essentially masculine, and Leo people divide into two distinct parts or types, one of which is quite the roarer, the individual with the strong leonine executive pressure, and the other we might term an intimidated Leo. The intimidated Leo is actually one who has the Leo qualities, but with a very highly sublimated consciousness. This consciousness causes the person to turn his willpower largely to the control and directing of his own life. Under such conditions, you have the mystic, the educator, the idealist. Where the Leo person is more aggressive, you have the leader and even the dictator. You have the strongly arrogant type of Leo. Now, the great virtue of the Leo person is their sincere and dedicated sense of responsibility. They are faithful unto death of the things that they believe, and they are very excellent servants of good causes. The danger to them, of course, in their activity is an extremism. They are not quite flexible enough. They are not quite able to find the humorous side of life. Things get a little too serious. Problems are exaggerated to some degree, and in the quiet side of Leo, dedication has even led to martyrdom. It is a sign in which the person, to be really as happy as they can be and as well adjusted as possible, must develop just a little more sense of humor, must recognize that they are working with a world that is not going to do quite the way they think it should, and take a rather parental attitude of leadership without domination, of helpfulness without criticism, and of cooperation without a determination to run something. All these things have to be very quietly worked out in the Leo. The moment a Leo person tries to dominate situations, he creates tremendous resistance. His very nature seems to do this. And as a result, he has pain and troubles that otherwise he should not be forced to endure. The Leo woman is a very dedicated person, and Leo women in families are often the dedicated co-worker in a project. The Leo person, Leo woman inheriting a husband or family responsibility will carry it with great conscientiousness. Also, they will remember persons whom they have admired. They are hero worshippers, and they are particularly dedicated to the perpetuation of the work of the dead, particularly some close person, leader, or object of respect in their lives. They will continue a continuing allegiance to that over a period of years. Many organizations pass into the control of Leo women who become devout and wonderful preservers of the trust that has been given to them. This is the way in which they work out their feminine approach. They become world motherly rather than simply personal parents. The Leo person, because of their pressures, has some enemies, has some opponents, is open to criticism, and where this gathers too much momentum may result in sickness. They are subject to falls, dizzy spells, and injuries of a minor nature involving the heart. They are sometimes subject in older years to difficulty in locomotion, but for the most part they get along fairly well if they are able to sort of graciously warm up their programs so that they do not appear to be merely forcing situations. From the 20th of August to the 20th of September is the Virgo person, which is a feminine sign. And the Virgo individual, generally speaking, is also rather the nervous type, more or less introverted by nature, very often successful in forms of humanitarian enterprise, especially involving health, as doctors, nurses, therapists, and persons of that nature. They have a great love of helping the sick. Very often, Virgo persons, by their natures, being somewhat negative, have a tendency to draw things to them, and they draw problems. They have a magnetic fascination about them, which causes persons weaker or more helpless to move in. This situation often throws the Virgo person into a long-range responsibility program, a program of taking care of, helping, guiding, leading, directing, sustaining, supporting, and holding up somebody. This can become more or less tiresome. And as a result of it, Virgo individual becomes a little negative, a little disillusioned, a bit pathetic sometimes, and gets a sort of internal feeling that they are being well imposed upon. I have news for them. They are. But at the same time, I've known cases where things were done to put it right, and the Virgo person was utterly miserable because he just couldn't get along except when he was imposed upon. Those were his best moments. Well, if he can handle it without getting sick or getting irritable, nervous, or troubled, all right. But the tendency is for them to absorb into themselves these problems and then spread the problems in the area of their own activity. The Virgo physician has to be careful that he doesn't discover in many of his patients some particular ailment with which he is peculiarly interested. He has a tendency to sort of pass on these things in this way. Virgo persons, being by nature nervous, being by nature perhaps a little unable to control their tendency to sort of chatter along their way of life, should cultivate again as much philosophy as possible, deep values with which to balance mental pressures, and a very broad, tolerant, kindly, relaxed relationship with life. Otherwise, you're going to find too many nervous ailments appearing, too much tendency to fatigue, and a little negative melancholy slowly creeping in to color the life rather drably. They mustn't reach the situation in which they must be busy every minute or miserable. There must be a way of not being quite so busy and at the same time being happy, pleasant, and integrated, and adjusted. By this procedure, all things go a little better. The Virgo man, because of the negative endowment which he has received, is apt to be lacking in a necessary degree of aggressiveness for family leadership or for advancement in business, and he is apt to be engaged in some line of activity which does not demand too much creative imagination. Therefore, he needs creative imagination rather than routine to enrich and perfect his life. From the 20th of September to the 20th of October, we have the Libra person. And the Libra individual is one in whom frustrations very often have almost immediate results. The frustration being pressure. The Libra person being a very willful person, being a person with tremendous determinations, and to a certain degree, an instinctive tendency to try to aggressively influence other people, must learn that all of this procedure will shorten life and shorten happiness and will result in serious detriment to the various metabolic processes of the body. The person who is too dominant, too aggressive, has metabolism troubles. And these, in turn, can lead to many other situations. So that the Libra person must let down the drive by means of which they are pressed to either supreme achievement or nothing. This perfectionism of the Libra person, this absolute requirement that they be in some way important, may cause this importance to be attempted by force rather than by merit. The only way in which the Libra person can achieve the high degree of recognition which they really desire is by having the kind of nature, the kind of personality, and the kind of attainments by which this approbation would naturally come to them. If it is not obvious and they try to force it, they lose friends, they create for themselves isolation, and bring a great deal of unnecessary criticism upon their own heads. Therefore, the problem of Libra is this problem of building firm merits under a very deep, broad understanding of life. And as this understanding increases, the tendency to dogmatize decreases. It is too much pressure, too much willfulness that brings psychological sickness to these people, and it's the relaxation of willfulness that must, in a turn, bring them back again to peace and security. The Libra woman has the tendency, often, to resent her own femininity and to wish she was a man or able to carry men's work. This situation isn't essentially good because it becomes the basis of a neurotic tendency. Instead of this attitude, it's far better for her to engage in some rather definite pursuit and to build a career in which she has a reasonable degree of extroversion. It's not good to build anything upon resentment, only upon accomplishment, everywhere along the way through life. From the 20th of October to the 20th of November, we have the feminine sign of Scorpio. This sign, again, is one of our intensity pattern signs. It comes with a great deal of uncontrolled drive. I think the Scorpio person of all the signs is the one most likely ultimately to become afraid of themselves. They do not understand the pressures that are in them. Probably most of them will rationalize the pressure in somewhat this way. Namely, that along the way of life, there was something they always wanted to be. Situations made it almost impossible for them to be this thing. Therefore, there is a defeatism in there. There is a sense that this life has closed its doors on them, and that they have been forced into situations that are not fruitful of true fulfillment. These people must always have some creative emotional outlet, because if their emotions go sour, they're in a very bad way. To keep their emotions from going sour, they must not be critical of other people. They must be as gentle and optimistic as possible, and make a disciplined program of surrounding their lives with interests by which they become closer to other people. The tendency of the Scorpio may be to evade social contact or avoid it as uninteresting or unprofitable or too difficult. But social contact is one way to keep the Scorpio person reasonably normal. They are in great need to be able to mingle easily with other people and to recover from a dramatic tendency toward self-consciousness. This self-consciousness is not good. It leads to physical problem, and very often these individuals suffer from unusual tensions involving the spine and involving the sensory perceptions, and they frequently have trouble with their eyes. So this sign, in order to gain its adjustment in life, must get away from a certain self-centered focusing, by means of which they become shy or unadjusted socially. They must be able to relax and find, for this drive that they have within themselves, which is almost a blind drive, they must have for it a variety of useful, happy, well-adjusted outlets. And the best outlets for them must be in creative fields, in creative arts, self-expression, or production of self-created artistry or craft work. Their best work is in creativity, which is generally denied to them in their ordinary vocational activity. Creativity for them is the most important phase of their lives. This sign, incidentally, carries almost the same recommendation for the ladies. It is again creativity escaping from pattern or drudgery or order or rhythms which become boresome. Every Scorpio woman must have some psychological outlet that is interesting. And if they haven't found what is interesting, they must realize that it is because they have not been interested. And to be interesting, things must awaken interest in us. But there are many things, particularly of a more serious and important nature, which Scorpio people can find to be extremely interesting. From the 20th of November to the 20th of December, we have the Sagittarian. And the Sagittarian is often one with too many interests. A very interesting, rather pleasant personality is very marked in this sign. But it is also one which is distinguished, both in men and women, for lack of, we might say, self-control. This sign has to look out for the misuse of escape mechanisms. The individuals born under it must not run away from facts. The tendency is to obscure facts, to hide them in one way or another, and to develop surface projects which are not consistent with inner convictions. This leads also to one of the great dangers of the sign, namely intemperance. And in many cases, the alcoholic problem has ruined the life of a Sagittarian. But if this forms one kind of habit, we know there are many other habits quite socially acceptable that can also have a detrimental effect. And one of the problems with the Sagittarian is the danger of developing a success fixation. The importance of succeeding, the status symbolism. These things very often must be considered. Also, the temperament of the Sagittarian, particularly the Sagittarian woman, often gravitates against a successful marriage. And as a result of being a little too critical, a little too demanding, and perhaps a little too extravagant, the Sagittarian woman has got to guard her home, or something may go wrong in it. The tendency also, finally, with the Sagittarian person is to live through an adventurousness into a final state of more or less quiet security. In the long range of things, the Sagittarian often comes to a very happy and fortunate situation. But they have to come to that after they have exhausted a series of false situations with false glamour. The earlier, therefore, that the Sagittarian can discriminate real value from appearance and can turn from appearance to value, the sooner they can do this, the more quickly they will avoid the pressures and tendencies which affect the sign. The sign is affected by surgery. Usually there's at least one major surgery or danger of it. The sign is affected to a measure at least by fears, negative fears, and by defeatism, and often by a pattern of life in which the individual has sacrificed too much in the vain effort to try and succeed. The merit system must be strong, the person must be relaxed, and the effort to succeed must never reach a point of compromise. If we compromise with principles, the Sagittarian does not do well. Religion frequently becomes a strong factor in bringing the Sagittarian person to final integration. Now, the next sign is Capricorn, from the 20th of December to the 20th of January. This sign has as its principal adversary in terms of psychology and health a certain setness or fixedness of attitude. It is present in both the men and the women of the sign. This sign, there is not a great deal of inconsistency between the two, except that, strangely enough, the women seem to appear the more ambitious of the two in this particular group. The Capricornian person has to be careful not to become set in ways, for anything that becomes set becomes crystallized. The Capricornian cannot afford to settle down into any attitude or condition or even into a place which will have a tendency to close in upon them. Everything closes in on them if they are not careful. This closing in restricts perspective, restricts opportunities and privileges, and gradually causes the individual to develop physical tendencies of crystallization, rheumatic problems, and chronic difficulties arising from chronic attitudes. Now, from the 20th of January to the 20th of February, we have the Aquarian folks. And here again, we have a nerve tension problem. We find that in this particular sign, although it is masculine, that the ladies have a better adjustment frequently than the men. The Aquarian woman is inclined to be vivacious, attractive, personable. She also has a bright and sparkling type of nature, which is not always the result of having had an easy life, because many of these people carry quite a good deal of tragedy in their inner consciousness. But they rise above it rather dramatically and for the most part spend their lives in a sincere effort to try to work out constructive ways of using their energies. They're quite the organizers, they're quite the inspirers of the people around them. The Aquarian man is also, along somewhat more scientific lines, inventive and creative. In almost any field of activity, however, he is apt to be a little critical because his mind works quickly, and he is apt to outthink the boss, which can be a serious mistake in business. He can also have a certain kind of honesty, which is easily hurt and afflicted. He does not like to compromise his principles for any reason. This can also be a financial hazard at the present time. Actually, the Aquarian is best suited to some form of individual business or in a field activity in which he has very little contact with the politics of the organization in which he is involved. He has a natural dislike for politics, a critical attitude towards the machinery of management, and prefers to be on his own. This is for one of two reasons, either because of principle or because he is not able to control himself. Now, if it is due to the later, to the latter of these two, if it is simply unwillingness to be disciplined, he should put himself in a position where discipline is inevitable. But if it is simply because of real conviction that discipline in this case represents compromise of principle, then, of course, it is his right and his proper duty to remain true to principles. It's an analysis of himself to determine whether he is using his principles or merely making evaders out of them. And the last sign is our old friend the Fishes, Pisces, from the 20th of February to the 20th of March, a feminine sign. Now, in this case, the feminine sign has not been too kind to the women that are born under it, because it has given them also a very powerful imagination with a tendency to be somewhat morbid or self-pitying. The internal life of the Piscean woman is too likely to be lived in the past, to perpetuate grievances, grudges, and misfortunes, and to be unable to completely extricate from self-centeredness. The Piscean woman needs to get her mind on other people so completely that she can't even remember that she's ever had troubles. She doesn't have to remember them because she knows she's had them anyway, that she's never going to totally forget. But it is better never to bring them into an immediate situation. Don't make the mistake of when someone tells you their trouble of reminding them of yours. This is not going to help. But it is a tendency. There is a tendency also for things that happened in childhood and long ago to sort of come out and overshadow. The tendency of the past or that which is gone to rule the living. This tendency should be coped with, and every effort made to give it greater vitality. The Piscean woman probably needs more education, more activity, more professional life than the majority of the other signs. She needs a definite area of public service if she can possibly attain to it. The Piscean man is very often the clergyman or the psychologist or the doctor or something of that nature. He is inclined to be, as it is a feminine sign, he is inclined to be passive, introverted, imaginative, and creative within his own fields. With him, however, the energy problem becomes more or less continuously acute through life. His energies do not sustain him. And one of his ailments, as a result of his lack of energy and not too robust health, will often involve circulation, nervousness, fatigue, and diminution of the sensory perceptions and faculties. Against these, which are more or less indications of low voltage within his electric field, he must use what means he can to increase his energies, but mostly to decrease his waste in their use. He gets by saving carefully what he has and wasting none of it on pursuits which may be perfectly practical for other people, but are a luxury which he cannot afford. Now, our time is more than up. We've tried to carry you around the circle with a few remarks, and we hope that you will find something that will be helpful, and if you don't, that you won't blame me for misjudging you completely. We'll do the best we can, anyway.